Gopi complains in one place, see on Darish Engel, that no one is speaking about Yerushalayim. The Gemara comments in Rosh Hashanah based on that pasuk, Nechlal the Bayad Risha, we see from this pasuk that the prophecy is, that we should be speaking about Shlom Yerushalayim. This is a mitzvah midiri kabbalah, it's not a mitzvah midiri kabbalah, it's halfway between a mitzvah midiri kabbalah and a mitzvah midiri kabbalah, a mitzvah which is recorded in the name of Tzuvim. This is considered a mitzvah midiri kabbalah all year long, and especially on a day on which we celebrate HaKadosh Baruch Hu's wonderful Matana Teva of giving back the holy city of Yerushalayim to the Bnei Yisrael, that it should be under our government. So in the sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I would like to discuss in Yom Yerushalayim the halacha of our brother, tonight. In this week's Sedra in Parshat Naso, we have the pasuk of Shiluach Tmei Min HaMachan. The Torah tells us that a Tamei is not permitted to enter into the Machan. The Chumash speaks of three different Machans. We have a Machan Shechina, and a Machan Leviyah, and a Machan Yisro. Machan Shechina corresponding to the Azorah, that we can bring the Korbanos, we can shech the Korbanos, the sacrifices. The Machan Leviyah, the second Machan, which corresponds to the Har HaBayit. And the third machna is Machna Yisrael, which corresponds to the whole city Yerushalayim. And the Gemara in Pesachim, the whole study based on the Pesukim in this week's Sedra in Parshas Naso regarding Yeshiva Tmeim and HaMachna, that the Chumash speaks of different levels of Tumah, Zalua, Zav, and Tomei Lanofesh, that the different levels of Tmeim are forbidden to enter into the three different levels of Machna. The Tzorua, the Mitzorah, is forbidden to enter into the Machna Yisrael, into the whole city Yerushalayim. And the Zav is forbidden to enter into the Harabais, and the Torah of Nafesh is only forbidden to enter into the Machna Shechin, into the Yazor. The Halacha makes it very clear that the Kiddush of Yerushalayim is in a certain sense a mikzas and the aim of Kiddush of HaMikdash. But the real Kiddush of the Beis HaMikdash is in the Kiddush of Kiddush in Bein Shnei Habadim, where the Aron HaKiddush was with the Rukha. And then the rest of the Kodesh HaKadoshim had a little lower level of Kiddush HaMikdash. Then Azorah had a little lower level, and the Harabais had a little lower level, and Yerushalayim had also a little lower level of Kiddush HaMikdash. So the simple shot, the simple understanding of the nature of Kiddush Yerushalayim is that it's a certain lower form of Kiddush Beit HaMikdash. This is the assumption that the Chassam Sofer makes in posing his kash. The Gemara in Bava Kamma, and that pay days on the days, record the dispute, the historical machlokes that the Tanaim have regarding the city Yerushalayim. When Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, so the Pesukim say in Sefer Yeshua that it took him 14 years to complete the job. That the first 7 years were the Sheva Shekiv Shu, they were waging battle with the 31 kings for 7 years. And following those were the 7 years, the Sheva Shekiv, or the 7 years during which they accomplished Chalukas Baretz. So the Gemara has a dispute, the historical machlokes. When Yehoshua ben Nun divided all of Eretz Yisrael, did he divide also Yerushalayim? Or did he not divide Yerushalayim? Was Yerushalayim the Tzchalk of the Shvatim? It was divided among the two Shvatim of Yehuda and Yamin? Or no? Perhaps Yerushalayim was separate from the Chalukah. The Chalukah, the division of Eretz Yisrael, only applied to the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And the city Yerushalayim, Hatika, was never divided. So the Gemara says, Bipaskin Lahalacha, we assume that historically and halachically Yerushalayim was never divided. Like the Chachamim against Rabbi Yudah, Yochad Berabim, Halacha Kirabim, Rabbi Yudah is in the minority opinion. We assume that historically, according to the Halacha, the city Yerushalayim was never divided at all. So the sinful understanding for why Yerushalayim was never divided is based on a pasuk in Chumash, where the Torah tells us in Parshas Re'eh, in Chumash Dvarim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will choose one place, HaMakom Ashivcha Hashem Lakechem, Mikol Shivtechem Losu Mishmai Shom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will pick on one place, which will be Mikol Shivtechem. That spot where the Beis HaMikdash is to be built will belong to all of the tribes. And if Yerushalayim would have been divided based on the location where it was situated, namely that it should part belong to Yehuda, and part of Yerushalayim should belong to Shevet Binyamin, then the Beis HaMikdash would be built either on the area that belonged to one tribe or the other, or perhaps both. That's how that opinion, that's what Yehuda says. The Beis HaMikdash was built on the area that belonged, part of it belonged to Shevet Yehuda and part belonged to Shevet Binyamin. And we would not be fulfilling the pasuk in Chumash that says that the Beis HaMikdash should be built. HaMakom Ashivcha Hashem Lakechem, Mikol Shivtechem, has to be built on the area that belongs to Kol HaShvatim, to all of the tribes together. So this is the simple understanding of the halacha, of the historical fact which is based on halacha, that Yerushalayim in the days of Yeshua ben Nun was never divided amongst the Shvatim. In fact, the Gemara says in Bava Basra about Kufchav Beis and Aleph, when they were dividing the areas in Eretz Yisrael, so everybody got approximately the same size land. I got 5 acres, you got 5 acres, and he got 5 acres. So the Gemara says, however, but the 5 acres that are close to Yerushalayim are more valuable than the 5 acres that are further away from Yerushalayim. Let's say somebody lives in Beibrik, he lives in all the way in Galil, Kiryat Shmona, five hours away from Yerushalayim. Someone else lives all the way in the Negev, so that's very far away from Yerushalayim. So those who got the 5 acres far away from Yerushalayim were cheated. So the Gemara says, to make up for it, to make everything even, the people who got their 5 acres near Yerushalayim had to be malabik sof, and they had to pay extra money to those who got their 5 acres further away from Yerushalayim. And this chalukah, this payment, and so on, was done on the days of Yishuv Binun. That's how the Gemara explains above
us. I'm a little confused. Didn't talking about passing Yerushalayim and Yerushalayim?
Right.
So, in the time of Yeshua, it wasn't
counted Yerushalayim. Well, the Gemara says, based on the Pesukim, that they divided, the Pesuk says in Yerushalayim, I think it's Perek Yudches, but they had a plan of attack in advance. Before they went to conquer the land, so they drew a map. Yeshua Binun tells them, draw a map of Eretz Yisrael. And then they drew a map, and then they divided it before they had conquered it. So that's called the Chalukah Sarat. That's included in the 7 years of Chalukah Sarat, that they were Mechalik the Eretz before they even conquered it. So that's the assumption that it seems to be made. They knew all along from the days of Yeshua Binun that Yerushalayim is going to be the Makom HaMikdash. Why then did they leave it out? Did they not divide Yerushalayim and Shvatim? Why then are the 5 acres that are closer to Yerushalayim more valuable than the 5 acres far away from Yerushalayim? If Yerushalayim doesn't play any role at all, what do you mean close or far away from where? But the Paramus is near New York. So why is it worth so much money? Because Paramus in Wichita, Kansas is far away from New York. Who says the Yichus is New York? Oh, so you have all the big yeshivas in New York, so Paramus is more valuable real estate than Wichita. But if you don't know where the center of attraction is going to be, if you don't know that Yerushalayim is going to be the center of attraction, so who said that the 5 acres near Yerushalayim are worth more than the 5 acres far away from Yerushalayim? So from the Gemara it's clear that historically from day number one, that's from day number one, after the 14 years were up, after the Sheva Shekivsha, the Sheva Shechilka, they knew all along that Yerushalayim is some place special, and that that area was never divided in the Shvatim because they're going to build a Beis HaMikdash there. That's what is clear from the Gemara. So the Chasam Sofer raises a kash in his Truvis. He doesn't understand. The Gemara in Yumet has a whole discussion based on the Pesukim in Sefer Shmuel. David HaMelech was very interested in building the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Navi told him that Dam Rav Shafakto, that you were a killer, even when he killed the Rav HaMitzvah, he killed Plishtim, he killed the Arabs, he killed the enemies. But still, since he killed human lives, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that his son should be Shlomo, he should be an Ish Shalom, and he should build Yerushalayim up. Yerushalayim is a city of peace, and the Beis HaMikdash is the Makom Shalom, and it's not proper that David HaMelech should build the Beis HaMikdash. But still, the Pesukim say in Divrei Yomim, that when David was on his, David was waging his battle with the enemies, whenever he took into his possession gold and silver and precious metals, he would always set it aside and be Makdash into the Beis HaMikdash. And he prepared as much as possible for the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech was blaring, was trying to figure out where should we build this Beis HaMikdash that he's interested in building. So first he decided he's going to build it in the tallest spot in Eretz Yisrael, which the Gemara says was Ein Ippen, a certain place in a mountainous region. And then he decided, no, a different spot. And finally he was thinking, this place, the other place, the other place. But finally the Navi told him, all of your guesses are wrong. The Navi told him it's going to be built in Yerushalayim. So the Chasam Sofer says he doesn't understand, and the Gemara explains this based on Sukkim and Sefer Shmuel, that David was thinking of one place and another place until he finally realized, based on what the Navi told him, that it's Yerushalayim where the Beis HaMikdash will be built. So the Chasam Sofer asks, he doesn't understand, how did David understand why Yerushalayim was Lenis Chalkon HaShvatim? That's a historical fact. In the days of Yishuv Binun, Yerushalayim is separate. It was left out from the Chalukah. Obviously because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, Hamachom Yishivcha Hashem Elokeich Mikol Shevtechem. That's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be built. And that's why those who got their 5 acres of property closer to Yerushalayim had to make compensation to those who got their 5 acres further away from Yerushalayim, because their property was more valuable, because when they'll be Oyla Regel, they'll just have to walk 5 minutes and the others will have to travel for hours and hours. Obviously the Makom HaMikdash, the place where the Beis HaMikdash will be built, will be ultimately Yerushalayim. So why didn't David HaMelech realize that? He didn't know that Yerushalayim was one of Chalkon HaShvatim. That was public knowledge. So the Mefarshim explained that the answer to the Kasha of the Chasam Sofer is as follows. That true Yerushalayim is the Makom of the Beis HaMikdash. And that's what the Gemara says is the true reason why Yerushalayim was Lo Nischal Kol HaShvatim, because the Pasuk says in Parshas Re'eh, in Chumash Dvarim that the Beis HaMikdash must be built on an area which should be Ashivcha Hashem Elokechem Mikol Shivtechem, Lashem Shmai Shem, has to be an area that belongs to all of Klal Yisrael. But nevertheless, there is another halacha in Yerushalayim. The halacha runs as follows. The Zohar comments on a pasuk, but it's halacha, it's not Kabbalah. The Zohar comments on a pasuk, the Zohar Pashas Lech Lecha, comments on a pasuk in Koheles, which praises some countries and attacks other countries. The pasuk in Koheles praises the country, Ashra Cheretz, Shamalkech Ben Chorin. The pasuk praises the country where the king is a free man. And Oiloch Eloch Eretz, woe is unto you that country, Shemalkech Nar, that the king is a young man. It's better to have an older person running the government. That's what the pasuk seems to be implying. So the Zohar comments on the pasuk that it's not giving a commentary on politics, that it's good to have a country where the king is a free man. Which country do you have a king who's not a free man? Would you have a slave who rules the country? Of course the king is going to be a free man. Woe is unto the country where they have a young man running the government. Okay. So that's a good time, but we don't understand what the parallelism over here. So the Zohar comments that the pasuk is drawing a distinction between Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz La'aretz. That in Eretz Yisrael, the king is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God is the king. Ashbech Eretz is a praise of Eretz Yisrael, Shemalkev Ben Chorin, that the king of Eretz Yisrael is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the one who frees people. He makes Bnei Yisrael free at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And he instituted, that's what the Zohar interprets, and he instituted the Din of Yovel, at which time all the slaves go free. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Ben Chorin because he makes other people free. He's the one who makes others free. So the pasuk is not really praising the king who is a free man. Every king is a free man. The pasuk is praising the king who makes his subjects free, who frees all of the other people. And the only country that has such a king is Eretz Yisrael. So the Zohar is telling us that Al-Pidin, the king of Eretz Yisrael, is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's interesting that, in fact, is the national anthem of the Neturikat. Instead of singing HaTikva, the Enigin starts off, Hashem Hu Malkeinu V'lo Anachnu Avodim. That part is correct, Api Allah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, when you read the Pasuk in the Shir Shalyom for Monday, from Tehillim in Perek Memches, so the parrot begins, Shem is Vod of Nekorah. Vadol Hashem Emhol Meod, Vyolai Keinu HaKotcha. So the pasuk is praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is the king of Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim is called Kiryat Melach Ro, the city of the great king. Vyir Hashem Tzvokas, Vyir Elokeinu. Yerushalayim is considered the city, the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the king of Eretz Yisrael, and Yerushalayim is his capital city. And this is Api Halacha, so it's not some Jewish, it's not some Ataychen pasuk. The Rambam quotes Halacha from Yerushalmi based on this assumption that Eretz Yisrael, the king of Eretz Yisrael, really is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when we have a Melech who's a Basav Adam, a human king, he is merely the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's supposed to be. The king in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be the representative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the true king is really Hashem Yisbarach. So when one appoints a king in Yerushalayim, the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph and Hilchos Molochim, Halacha Yud, quotes Adin from Yerushalmi, you are not permitted to appoint in Yerushalayim a king outside of those who are descendants from the Malchus Beis David. You are permitted to appoint a king other than Malchus Beis David, but he cannot be the king ruling in Yerushalayim. He has to be a king somewhere else, outside of Yerushalayim. Eim emanim melech, the Yerushalayim liolam, elam izera David bovad. That's what the Rambam says. Why? Because al pi halacha, only the Malchus Beis David are considered the representatives of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the real melech is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the melech of the Malchus Beis David is representing him. Other kings, Al-Pidin, do not represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara has dinim based on this. The Gemara has the Mashal Didin in Brachas, Perek Shlosh Shachlu, that when we recite Brachas HaMoz, and after reading a meal, so we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for various things. The first thing is, you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the food. Then, you have to thank the second blessing of Brachas HaMoz, is Al-Horez HaMoz, and you thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, when the man came down from heaven, and the Jews had what to eat, so Moshe Rabbeinu instituted the Nusach of Hazanah Sakov, the first blessing in the Birchas HaMoz. When Yeshua ben Nun led the Jewish armies over into Eretz Yisrael, and they conquered the land, so then they had one to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he gave them Eretz Yisrael. Before they got Eretz Yisrael, there was only a promise. So you don't have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving you a promise. You thank him for the promise also, but we don't have to thank him every time we eat a meal. So after Yeshua ben Nun conquered Eretz Yisrael, then he instituted the second bracha, Noi Lelecho, Al Horas Ve'al Hamazon. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for actually fulfilling his promise in giving us the Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara derives from the same pasuk, "V'irachto es Hashem alakecha al ha'aretz ha'toivu Hashem nasan lach." Why does it say "aretz ha'toivu"? So the Gemara comes with the term "ha'toivu" has the connotation of "ha'or ha'tov hazeh v'halavonon." "Ha'or ha'tov hazeh" refers to Yerushalayim. Why does Levonon have the connotation of Yerushalayim? So the Gemara says in another place in Yuma that the Beis Hamikdash is called Levonon Shemalbin Aben Hussein Shal Yisrael, that it whitewashes. It washes off all of our sins and it cleans us all. So when the pasuk says we should praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we finish eating a meal, we should thank Him for the food, the first bracha. We should thank Him for Eretz Yisrael. And then later, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, when David HaMelech and Shlomo were preparing, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, then they composed the third bracha and the Brichas HaMoz, and thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bainei Yerushalayim, Abayne Barachim Yerushalayim. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Yerushalayim. So the Gemara comments in brachas that when we recite that third blessing in the Birchas HaMazon, we must include also an appreciation for Malchus Beis Dovid. Why? So the Gemara explains in Bava Basra and in other places what the Rambam is writing over here, that the Yerushalayim Apidin is the capital, aside from the fact that the Yerushalayim is the Rokum of the Beis HaMikdosh, and it therefore has a Miktas Kedusha's Beis HaMikdosh, it also has another level, another union of Kedusha. All of Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha, that it's Eretz Yisrael, Yechayv and Mitzvah Sadhu Yisbarach. The mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim has an added Kedusha over that of Eretz Yisrael. It's the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. Yerushalayim is the capital of God's kingdom. God is the real king of Eretz Yisrael. And the kings from the Malchus Beis Dovid, those who are descendants from David HaMelech, are the only true Melochim who are considered representatives of God's kingdom on this earth. And that's why the Halacha says that there's a strong connection between Malchus Beis Dovid and Yerushalayim. That one is only permitted to appoint a melech in Yerushalayim if he is a descendant from the Malchus Beis Dovid. The same is true in the Shemana Esrei. When we daven Shemana Esrei, the Tosfos Reed in his commentary on the end of Maseches Tainis points out that Yerushalmi, that they didn't have as two separate brachas to the Yerushalayim Yurcha Berachamim Toshu, which concludes Bainei Yerushalayim, and the next bracha being a Sarat Tavar Avnechon Nehiru Satzmiyah, a blessing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring back the Malchus Beis Dovid. In Eretz Yisrael, the Bavli in Gemara Pesachim and Perek Arvi Pesachim writes clearly that these are two distinct brachas. One bracha for Yerushalayim, for Binyan Yerushalayim, pleading to our Kodesh Baruch Hu that he should rebuild Yerushalayim. And the next bracha calling upon Kodesh Baruch Hu to reinstitute the Malchus Beis Dovid. But in the days of the Yerushalmi in Eretz Yisrael, they have these two combined as one bracha, like we have in the Birchas HaMazon, that the tefillah for the Malchus Beis Dovid is incorporated within the Nusach HaTefillah for Yerushalayim, because the full Yerushalayim b'binyano is when Yerushalayim will be the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and the capital in the fullest sense means when God will be the king there, and His chosen king, the descendants from the Malchus Beis Dovid, will be ruling there. The Gemara has dinin. This is not Stam Jewish. The Gemara has halacha that ein yeshiva ba'azara ela l'malchus Beis Dovid b'levad. Halacha is that no one is permitted to sit down in the azara. The Gemara says that the chachamim were never mekadesh the ezras nashim, the women's section of the Beis Hamikdash, because they wanted to give the women a break, they should be permitted to sit the whole time. But the men who used to stand in the men's section, the Ezra's Yisrael, were never permitted to be seated, neither the Yisraelim, nor the Kohanim, even the Kohen Gadol. Even the high priest was forbidden to sit down in the Azorah, with the one exception of the Malchei Beis Dovid. The kings, who are descendants from David HaMelech, were permitted to sit down, and this is based on a pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that reads, Vayeshev Shlomai al Kisei Hashem. But Shlomo HaMelech sat down on the divine throne. What does that mean? So some of Rashi claim, Rashi in one place claims that the whole din is only with the Rabban and the whole thing is only Asmachta. They just wanted to give a Hashivas to the Malchus Beis Dovid, so they made a din de Rabban that no one is permitted to be seated except for those who are descendants from Malchus Beis Dovid. But Rashi in another place, in the end of Sanhedrin, contradicts what he writes in Sotah, and Rashi writes, no, that it really is a din min Atar, it's a biblical din. Where is the din found in the Chumash? So Rashi writes, it's not a din that's found in the Chumash, it's a halacha l'moshe misina, it was an oral tradition. So the Mephoshim asked, how can you have a halacha l'moshe misina? It can only be descendants from Malchus Beis Dovid. I've admitted to sit in the Azor. I mean, Moshe Rabbeinu already was speaking about Malchus Beis Dovid. How can it be? So the Brisker of Rav Elvela in his Sefer HaChumash explains that he doesn't think that there's any problem at all. Moshe Rabbeinu gave over a halacha l'moshe misina, that no one is permitted to sit in the Azor except for those who are descendants from the Malchus HaNivcheres. He didn't say the Losh of Malchus Beis Dovid. Except for those who are descendants from the Malchus HaNivcheres, the chosen Malchus, which represents Kisei Hashem, represents the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That they are only representing the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the real Melech of Eretz Yisrael is really HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Then who will be the Malchus HaNivcheres? That was historically to be determined years later. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say B'shas Ma'isim when he gave over this oral tradition is Tarash Baal Peh, the Halacha Moshe Sinai, who will be zeichet to become the Malchus HaNecheret. That was determined later. So first the Navi Shmuel attempted to appoint Shaul as the Malchus HaNecheret, and it didn't work. Shaul lost his chance because he didn't fight properly against the nation of Amalek. And then later, after the Shmuel told Shmuel and Navi to appoint David as the Malchus HaNecheret. So according to the Rashi in Sanhedrin, this is truly a Halacha Moshe Sinai. There is a real din d'oraisa that there should be a Malchus HaNecheret as representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right now that we are in a state of Golos, so it's not at all apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ruler over Eretz Yisrael. Even we have, even though Eretz Yisrael now is in Jewish control, the government is not that religious that it should be so obvious and so boilerplate that God is the king of Eretz Yisrael. It's not so conspicuous yet. But the Pesukim say that lossy love, this will be fulfilled. The Pasuk in Yirmiyah, Perigimla reads, "For Eisahi, Yikru Yerushalayim, Kisei Hashem." The city of Yerushalayim will be known as the palace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where His throne is. And the same phrase is used as is found by Shlomo HaMelech, "By Yeshu Shlomo Kisei Hashem." The Pasuk says that lossy love, Yerushalayim will be known as Kisei Hashem, the place of the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is His Makom HaMalchus. That is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And this parak in Tehillim that we say on Monday for the Shir Shayom is speaking of Lasi Lavoi, because the Medrash tells us the difference between Shir and Shira, different discourse to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Shira always means a Shira praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that took place in the past. And whenever it's a Shir of Lasi Lavoi, whenever it's something that's going to be fulfilled in Mosa Mashiach, then the term Shir is used rather than Shira, the Lashon Zohar. See, the parak in Tehillim, Mem Ches, begins with the phrase, Shir Mizmor of Nekar. This refers to Lasi Lavoi. That at that time, Yerushalayim will be Kiryas Melech Rov. At that time, it will be the capital of Eretz Yisrael, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the king.
I know we asked this many times, but how was the Hashemun Tak able to usurp the
office? It was against the
Hashemun. You can't say that Matashel Kohen Gadol would do something against it.
What Matashel?
No, you're permitted to appoint a different Melech.
It was over Yerushalayim.
They weren't supposed to be. They ruled over Yerushalayim, but their throne, their capital, wasn't supposed to be Yerushalayim. I don't know where the capital was. Let's look in history books, I don't know. But the Rambam quotes a Gemara, he's like Yerushalmi, that the king is not permitted, any king outside of those who are descendants from Malchus ben David, are not permitted to use Yerushalayim as their capital. They can rule over Yerushalayim as well, but they can't use it as their capital. Yerushalayim al Pidin is only the capital of Eretz Yisrael for that king who represents the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the answer to the kasha.
I don't understand. You described that with no problem. That Moshe asked the law, or law for Moshe that.
That only those descendants of the chosen kingdom.
Yes. But he didn't mention the particular line.
Naturally.
So, therefore, why couldn't you have another line?
Theoretically, you could have had another line, but then historically it turned out to be David HaMelech.
Yeah, but the thing is that since he didn't give the particular name of David HaMelech, then why could another line, why could he spawn another line?
That was chosen later, when the Navi Shmuel chose David HaMelech, so he said,
yeah, why can't another one choose another one?
That's what Bechir means. Bechir means to the exclusion of all others. Bechir means that you are chosen forever and ever. This place or this city, or this nation or something, the Jewish nation also has a Bechir. So that means that we were chosen forever and ever to the exclusion of all other nations. And Yerushalayim was chosen as the Ir HaNivcharet. And David HaMelech was chosen as the Malchus HaNivcharet. Originally the Navi attempted to appoint Shaul as the Malchus HaNivcharet. And then it didn't work, so the appointment to the kingdom was in conditional.
Well, in the same way that if you went from Shaul to David, couldn't go to another family.
It couldn't, no, because the prophet told David HaMelech that if he will be a good king, even if his descendants will be rotten, as long as he's a good king and he functions well, so the Malchus will be locked into his family. Then his family will be the chosen family. That's what the Navi told David HaMelech. So he was a decent king. He did a couple of errors on the side, but it didn't affect his functioning as a Melech. No, he functioned well as a Melech. As a Melech, he functioned well. Shaul didn't function well as a Melech. That's why he lost his opportunity to be the Malchus HaNecheret. But David functioned well as a Melech. So therefore, the prophet promised David HaMelech that if he will function well, even if his descendants will be Balei Aver and they will not function well as kings, his descendants will be the Malchus HaNecheret. So that was Nikva, that was determined by Shmuel HaNavi, by the promise that he gave to David HaMelech. So the answer to the kasha that was raised by the Chassam Sefer, how can it be that David HaMelech was considering, contemplating the possibility of establishing the Beis HaMikdash in a different area? So what was Yerushalayim? What is Chalkul Shvatim all about? Why in the world did they not divide the city of Yerushalayim amongst the, between the two tribes of Yehuda and Yemen? Why did they leave it out? Wasn't it because of the pasuk of Hamlocham Yishivcha Hashem Alekechem Yikol Shevtechem Lossam Yishmoy Shom? What then could possibly be the reason why Yerushalayim was not divided amongst the Shvatim? So the answer is an obvious one. That David HaMelech thought, of course Yerushalayim has a unique position. But he thought that the uniqueness of Yerushalayim is that is the Yir HaMlucha, that is the capital city of Eretz Yisrael. And as such, it should not belong to any one tribe. It should be sort of an international in a certain sense. It should be international among all the Yudei Shvatim. It shouldn't belong to one tribe or the other. And that's why David HaMelech was thinking, now that we know that Yerushalayim is the capital city, that we knew from the days of Yeshua Ben Nun. That's why Yerushalayim was the word going to Chalk of the Shvatim. It should belong to all of it. All of Bnei Israel. So then he was trying to figure out where should we locate the Beis HaMikdash. So he thought B'davkit should not be in Yerushalayim, because we derive from the Pasuk that there is supposed to be a separation of church and state. This is the Gemara in Zvachim, Dav Samach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want to have his Beis HaMikdash built in the backyard of the king. He doesn't want the kings to control the religion. He wants the Kohanim to control the religion. They should, the Rabbanim should pass on the Shilas. The Kohanim should bring the Korbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, and they should tell the king what he's supposed to do. Not that the king should be from Kohanim, and it should be all one. The religion should be controlled by the government. So Moshe Rabbeinu, so David HaMelech thought that we bedavka should not build the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. He knew that Yerushalayim was supposed to be the capital of Eretz Yisrael. He was thinking of making the Beis HaMikdash somewhere else. Tehillim Navi told him no. But even though there is a din of separating the government from the Beis HaMikdash, as the Gemara indicates in Zvachim Daf Samach, but here the Beis HaMikdash should be built in the same place where Yerushalayim is serving as the capital of Eretz Yisrael.
This presupposes that David HaMelech knew that Yerushalayim non-nechukah l'shuvatim.
Right.
But he didn't know that there was special compensation for the Shetochim that were near Yerushalayim.
No, there was compensation.
That was all the regular Beis HaMikdash.
Later on, the Rashbam and Baba Basra and Rav Kuf Tavbez explains why did they make compensation? Because they'll have to be all the regular, so they'll have to travel further. But David HaMelech didn't realize that. He thought the compensation was whoever is closer to the capital, his real estate is more valuable.
He
didn't know what the Milo was. He thought the Milo Yerushalayim was, and that's where the capital of Eretz Yisrael is. And that's why it's more valuable if your property is closer to Yerushalayim. And then later on he was told by the Navi, no, the Yerushalayim is to serve both functions. Yerushalayim is both the capital of Eretz Yisrael, and in that sense it has a higher level of Kedushas Haaretz. And it's also a mikza, it's also the place where the Beis HaMikdash is to be built, and in that sense it has a lower level of Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. It has two different levels of Kedusha. Yerushalayim has, Lamashal, the Mishnah says in the end of Ksubis, that just like there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutz La'aretz, so too there's more of a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim than there is to live in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So the Chassam Sofer has a famous tshuva, and Yeridaeus in the Reish Lam and Dalet, where he points out, why is there a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim? What is a mitzvah to live in the Beis HaMikdash? The mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim is Beis HaMikdash. Why is there more of a mitzvah to live in Beis HaMikdash? Pasuk says, the Yerish Tomos of Yishavtim Bot, a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So why should one think there's a bigger mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim? So the Chassam Sefer explains this in his tshuva, that Yerushalayim has two inyanim. One inyan is that it's the makom of the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah, the fact that it's the makom of the Beis HaMikdash, that will not indicate to us that there's a mitzvah to live, more of a mitzvah to live in Yerushalayim, more so than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. But the Chassam Sofer says, Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So it's the Iker, it's the center of Eretz Yisrael. So as such, just like there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a greater mitzvah to live in the capital of Eretz Yisrael, because that's the most important part of Eretz Yisrael as a country. Not that Yerushalayim, the Torah, Beis HaMikdash has a mitzvah to live there. That's why the Chassam Sofer is mechadish in his tshuva, the later poskim quote the halacha, that if a person wants to donate money to build, let's say, a yeshiva, or to pay the ground, or to rebuild the houses, old destroyed houses in Eretz Yisrael, so if all other things are equal, it's a greater mitzvah to donate your money to Yerushalayim than to donate money outside of Yerushalayim. Why? Because Yerushalayim has a more intense kedusha. Forget about Beis HaMikdash. Yerushalayim has a more intense kedusha of Eretz Yisrael than the rest of Eretz Yisrael has, because it is the capital of Eretz Yisrael.
Can we say Yerushalayim
won't reveal itself? Right, that's this Gemara. The Gemara says Yerushalayim learned this chalk of Yishvatim, that it was never divided, it was never the private property of any shevet or any individual member of any shevet. And therefore, when people come to sleep over, to stay in the Ir HaAtikah, nobody can charge them rent, because it doesn't, the area that I'm sleeping on doesn't belong to you. If you have a hotel in the old city, you can't charge me rent. It doesn't pay to have a hotel in. That's what the Gemara says in the Gilim, the Gemara says in Yuman, after Daisim and Aleph, that when the Olam Golem came to the old city, Yerushalayim, they weren't permitted to charge any money for the rental, because nobody can own any private property. Now also, let's say, people bought homes, private homes in the old city, Al-Pidin, it's not legal, Al-Pidin, it's not legitimate, you cannot own it. We pass from Allah like the Chacham and the Rav Yudah, that Yerushalayim learned Chalk and Shvatim, that the Ir HaAtikah cannot become the private property of any individual Jew. No. So then the Gemara discusses extending Yerushalayim. It was also halacha. The Gemara discusses adding on to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara has a whole sugya in Sanhedrin and a whole sugya in Shavuot. How does one endow extra area with Kedushas Yerushalayim? So you have to have the authorization of the Beis Din HaGadol, the Supreme Court in Yerushalayim. And you have to bring special korbanos. You have to bring a korban teira. You have to have the levim, the shira. A special ritual, special ceremony has to be made when you make Hanukkah as Yerushalayim. When you want to add on additional areas to Yerushalayim, there should have kedusha to Yerushalayim, namely that you should be able to eat kachim kalim there. So the Gemara tells us, the Gemara Shavuos quotes a Tosefta that during the period of the Bayisheni, the Chachamim wanted to add on to Yerushalayim only for political purposes and not for religious purposes. They wanted this, they knew that the soldiers would fight harder to protect Yerushalayim than to protect the rest of Eretz Yisrael, as is true today. And apparently the Gemara feels all pidin that it's supposed to be so. Yeah. That if Yerushalayim is the capital, you have to fight harder to protect the capital from the enemy than to protect the rest of the country. Like Cholil Bachar, they'll be born in the United States. So the United States Army would fight with the Mais HaNefesh more to protect Washington, D.C. than to protect other areas. Mustafa, they would fight harder to protect New York City also because it's so populated. They would fight harder to protect Washington than to protect Newark, New Jersey or something like that. Washington is the capital. The capital of the country has more Hasidus. So the Gemara tells us in Shavuos, during the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chachamim wanted the soldiers to fight harder to protect not only Yerushalayim itself, but to protect also the outlying sections of Yerushalayim. So they declared politically that section is also Yerushalayim, but they were never Mekadosh it. They never brought the special korbanos with the special ceremony that's required to endow that area with Kedushas Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says you couldn't the Kachim Kalam there, and you couldn't the Maishasheni there, because it did really have Kedushas Yerushalayim, but it did have a din of Yerushalayim. So what din of Yerushalayim did it have? It's just a fruit. What halacha of Yerushalayim did it have if they never endowed it with Kedushas? Oh, so the answer seems to be that Al-Pidin, Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And to declare Yerushalayim as the capital, you don't need any act of Kiddush. The city is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And then we have Halachas, when the outskirts of the city are considered one unit with the city itself. That's based on Gemara and Erezin. When are two different cities blended in to be considered one city, Al-Pidin, and when not? So it depends how close the houses are built to each other. So if they're close enough, so the Bezim will declare it as one city, Al-Pidin. So in the middle of the period of the Bayis Sheni, but the Sefer quoted in Shavuos, that Tezayin tells us that the Chachamim declared that the outskirts of Yerushalayim, like today, you have Yerushalayim is built up straight, Kiseder, from the old city, it's built up to Kiseder, keep on extending and extending. So everything, even though the other areas surrounding Yerushalayim do not have Kedushas Yerushalayim, in the sense of being permitted to eat Kachim Kalma, or being permitted to eat Maaseh Sheni there, right, that could, in order to endow with the Kedushas based on Migdosh, for that you have to have special ceremony. You have to bring a special carbon taida, and you have to have the levim simshira, and you have to have the authorization of the Beis Din HaGadol. But to declare that it's still an extension of the capital of Eretz Yisrael, that goes off the halachas of Ir, what's considered part of the city. So that's the extension of the city. So the main, it's part of the capital.
How about the Eastern Holy Property there?
How about
the outskirts? The Holy Property. Does it still apply to the outskirts as well?
No. That's a historical fact that the whatever was Yerushalayim in the days of Yishuv the Nun, that was never in the Schalk of the Shvat. But if you extend Yerushalayim, you can have private ownership there. It's only whatever was in the days of Yishuv the Nun was never divided to the Shvat.
So they extend now with a papio or anything like that comes under heading of Yerushalayim?
Right, with respect to this halacha, which is really halacha, that Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael.
Okay.
wasn't it predestined that the stairs would be built on the place on the mokum that the arkadah would place?
Right, right. That's what the Midrashim tell us, right? But Dovid HaMelech didn't know that. He was told that later.
The Novi
told Dovid HaMelech. Right. Dovid HaMelech was trying to figure out on his own where to build the Beis HaMikdash. And then when he guessed wrong, so the Novi told him he should build it in Yerushalayim, and then he told him that's where all the Marishim brought a carbon, that's where the Noach brought a carbon, that's where the Akedah was. Yeah.
What is the status of
Ir David? I'm not sure exactly which section is called Ir David. That's not in the Ir
Atika. No, it's not part of the wall and below, and everywhere it's
located. I don't know. I'm not familiar. I'm sure there are books written about it, but I'm not familiar with it. I'm familiar with the books, but I just never read it. So the Pesukim tell us, this same Perek and Tehillim, the Perek Memches, it tells us about the special mitzvah of building Yerushalayim, like the Chassam Sofer points out. He doesn't quote this Perek and Tehillim. The Pesukim say that because Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael, Kiryas Melech Rav, this is the capital city of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kingdom, and Hashem is the king of Eretz Yisrael. Therefore the Pasuk says, Sovot Tiyolaki Fuha, we should surround Yerushalayim, Sifu Migdalehu, we should count the houses in Yerushalayim. In fact, it was one of the Gedolim, Rabbi Zundel Salan, who went to live in Yerushalayim, he lived in Europe, and he moved to Yerushalayim. He lived in Eshor, that section is. He used to walk around every day, take a stroll in the street, and count how many houses there were in Yerushalayim. He felt that it's a mitzvah midirik habola, because it says, Sifu Migdalehu, count the houses in Yerushalayim. It's not exactly so, because the mitzvah only applies to the Moshe HaMashiach. This is a shir, not a shira. When we be the Moshe HaMashiach, then we'll talk about this mitzvah midirik habola. We should pay attention to the wall that's being built in Yerushalayim. Pazgu Arman Esel, we should try to build the houses taller. So the Novi, the Perek and Tehillim stresses the mitzvah of Binyan Yerushalayim like a chelek of Eretz Yisrael, but more so, not because Yerushalayim is the makom of the Beis Hamikdash. There's no mitzvah, build the Beis Hamikdash, what do you have to build all the houses for? Because Yerushalayim Alpidin is the capital of Eretz Yisrael. So the mitzvah of Yish of Eretz Yisrael applies in a stronger sense to Yerushalayim than in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. And it's interesting, we have a din in the Gemara that Haroa Yerushalayim Bichur Bono, one who sees Yerushalayim in a state of destruction has to rip Kriya. So there is a great dispute, there's none of that in our generation, regarding this din of Kriya, whether it still applies. When we come to the coast of Amaravi, so the Beis HaMikdash is still Bichur Bono, even though it's under Jewish control, but we don't have any Beis HaMikdash there. We have Maspil, we have the Arabs playing soccer there, we have all kinds of things going on there. So we have to rip Kriya when we see the Mikdash Bichur Bono. The question is, what about Yerushalayim Bichur Bono? Is the idea behind ripping Kriya on Yerushalayim Bichur Bono because Yerushalayim is the capital of Eretz Yisrael? And Bichur Bono means when it's not in Jewish hands any longer. So we're ripping Kriya because of the Malchus Yisrael which was taken away from us, because of the Korban HaMedina. In which case, after Mechamet Sheshet Hayamim, when the Israeli government took hold of Yerushalayim and they moved right away their offices to Yerushalayim and made it their capital, so then I'll be passionate, there should no longer be a din of Kriya today on Yerushalayim before Banai. Because Yerushalayim is not considered Bidin Yonai. It's under Jewish control, and it's again the capital of Eretz Israel. We don't have to rip Kriya al Korban HaMedina. We have the Medina, we have the government that's not located in Yerushalayim. The Israeli government considers Yerushalayim its capital. Or should we assume perhaps that the ripping of Kriya on Yerushalayim before Banai is not because Yerushalayim represents the Ir HaMelucha, and represents the destruction of the Malchus Yisrael, but rather because Yerushalayim is an extension of the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash and Kozman, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash built, so then we still consider it Yerushalayim Bichur Bona, in which case, once you rip Kriya, when he sees the old city, and then when he comes to the Kodesh Lomarovi, he would have to rip Kriya a second time. This is a great machlokes in our generation. Rabbi Soloveitchik and many other Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael feel that we have to continue to rip Kriya even now, on Yerushalayim, on Yerat Bikam, because they are many Gedolim of Shlomo Zalman, and many others are of the opinion that the idea behind the Gemara that one has to rip Kriya when he sees Yerushalayim Bichur Banai is Yerushalayim as representing Kedushas HaMikdash, and Kozman is not Beis HaMikdash, so we still have this obligation to rip Kriya. And other great Poskim in Eretz Yisrael disagree, and they feel that not, that the idea behind ripping Kriya on Yerushalayim is because Yerushalayim is the capital city, it's supposed to be the capital of the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, which it isn't, and now it is. Now Baruch Hashem Yerushalayim is the capital again, so then there's no need to rip Kriya. That's why, generally speaking, most people do not rip Kriya when they come into Yerushalayim, into the Yerat Ika, because whenever there's a machlekes regarding kriya, we go to kula. Because kriya is only a din with the rabbanon anyway. And if you read kriya when you're not obligated to, it's a chashasha, then it's a bal tashtis. So therefore, for these two reasons, the poskim write in Yerideya, that there's chetshuva quotes in the poskim in Yerideya, and whenever there's a suffix in kriya, we go to kula. Because fake the rabbanon the kula and a suffix bal tashtis. So that's why most people do not read kriya. But it's a question in din whether it's correct or not. Perhaps halacha ought to be that that we should read kriya today. The question hinging on this issue as to why did the Chachamim institute kriya on Yerushalayim b'chorbanai? Whether it's the one aspect of Yerushalayim or the other aspect, whether Yerushalayim here means Yerushalayim as the capital of the Jewish government, or Yerushalayim as the makom of the Beis Hamikdash.
Does everyone agree to tear kriya on
the Chazal? There's a minority opinion not to tear kriya on the Chazal, but it's generally not accepted. Most of the Chazal feel that you do have to do kriya on the Chazal. In my opinion that since the Makom HaMikdash is in Jewish control now, in Jewish hands, so you also don't have to read kriya. But it's really not a popular sheet.
So if you go to Eretz Yisrael and then the next year you go to Eretz Yisrael, you have to take kriya again?
If you haven't seen the Arabai, you haven't seen the Beis HaMikdash in 30 days. If 30 days, let's say a person visits Eretz Yisrael for 2 months. So 30 days passed by since the last time he saw the Kaislam Arabi, so he has to read kriya again. That's why years ago people used to be Mahara now also. Kedoshim used to be Mahara. Whenever they went to the Makom HaMikdash, so they were Mahara to go again within 30 days so they wouldn't have to rip Kriya again. You want to rip more good? The Psukim tell us in Novi very clearly that Lothi Lova Yerushalayim will be given a new name. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, Perek Samabes, V'korelach Shem Chadosh, Ashapi Hashem Yikovenu, HaKadosh Baruch will give a new name to Yerushalayim. And the Gemara in Baba Basar Da'afayin Hei points this out. What is this Shem Chodosh? So the Medrash points out the pasuk at the very end of Sefer Yecheskel, where the pasuk reads, "V'shem huyir miyom Hashem Shama." The name of the city will be Hashem is there. So the Medrash comments, "Altikvei Hashem Shama, El Hashem Shma." The name of the city will be Hashem. What do you mean? The name is Hashem. So now the Medrash points out, and Echa Rabasi, the Medrash says, "What a wonderful land Eretz Yisrael is and will be, a land where the capital of the country has the name of the king, and the king has the name of the god." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Ribbono Shel Olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the god over Eretz, is god over the whole wide world. And the Melech will be called, the Gemara says in Baruch Basan Da'af Ayin Hei, on the same day, the Gemara says that all three will have the same name. The Gemara says that Tzadikim will be called, B'Shem Hashem will be called, the Ribbono Shel Olam's man. And the Mashiach will be called the king of Hashem, Hashem's king, the one representing the Malchus HaKadosh Baruch Hu on Eretz Yisrael. And Yerushalayim will be called Ir Hashem. So this is how the Gemara understands this pasuk, that Losid Lavoi, the name of the city of Yerushalayim will be changed from Yerushalayim to be called Ir Hashem, Hashem Shmo. The Gemara says, even though the pasuk says Hashem Shama, Hashem will be there. So the Gemara darshins it to mean Hashem Shmo, that the name of the city will incorporate the Shem Hashem in it. It will be the capital city, Ir Elkeinu Har Kodshim, as the Pesukim seem to indicate in Tehillim. This is how the Gemara understands.
Oh, Shalom, one of the names of God.
So the Medrash tells us, what does the name Yerushalayim mean? So the Medrash tells us in Bereishis Rabba that Shem Ben Noach, the Medrash says that the name Yerushalayim is a composite of two names. The Shem Ben Noach was Malchut Tzedek Melech Sholem. So he gave it the name Sholem. Then later at the Akedah occurred, the Gemara says, in the Makom HaMikdash. The Makom HaMizbeach was where the Mizbeach is in the Beis Elam. So Avraham Avinu gave it a name, Hashem Yireh, Asher Yama Hayom Har Hashem Yireh. So Avraham Avinu gave it a name, Yireh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, what should I call this city? Should I call it Sholem, like Shem Benech called it Malchut Tzedek Melech Sholem? So Avraham Avinu will come to me with Tarumis. What happened? What's wrong with my name? Should I call it Yireh, as Avraham Avinu called it? So Shem is also Gdem HaTzadik, so it also comes with Tarumis. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt he better do something that he won't have any tainus from the Tzadikim. So he called it by the name Yerushalayim, which is a combination of the name Yireh and Sholem. This is what the Gemara says. And then the Medrash continues. Another Medrash continues on this theme, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Ayin Vav. This is a famous Pasuk by the Rabbanan Hasidim, that a special Niggun. Pasuk reads, "Vayhi b'Sholem Sukkah u'me'anasa b'tziyayim." So the Medrash comments on that Pasuk, that the name Sholem was the name given to this city by Malchut Tzedek, by Shem Ben Noach, before Avraham Avinu came along. When Avraham Avinu came, he gave the name Yireh. Hashem Yireh, Asher Yom Ha'yom Har Hashem Yireh. And later, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called it by both. Yerushalayim means Yireh and Sholem. But the pasuk here reads, "Vahi b'shalem sukkai," that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a sukkah, and the city Shalem. So when was it called Shalem? That's before the days of Avraham Avinu. Before Avraham Avinu gave the city the name Yerushalayim, Yireh, it already had the name Shalem then. So at that time, before the days of Avraham Avinu, Hashem Yisbarach made a sukkah. Also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu a sukkah. And what are we doing in the sukkah? U'mi'oinosa b'tzion. And the Medrash understands the term mi'oinosa in the sense of tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was davening in the tefillah. It's a very strange concept. The Imam Brocha talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu davening to himself also. We don't fully understand. We don't understand at all what it means. And Kabbalah have a lot to speak about that. What do you mean the Rebbe Shalom davening? What does he daven to himself? What does it mean? So the Medrash says over here also, V'hoi HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispalo b'tzoicha shenemar, as the pasuk says, he be Shalem Sukkah. When the city was still called Shalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it for himself a sukkah. U'mi'oinosa b'tzion, he was davening there. Manasa means his tefillah wasn't tzion. What was he davening? So the Medrash says his tefillah used to be Yihiratzon She'eret b'binyan beisi. May my wish be fulfilled that I should be zeichet to see a Beis HaMikdash built here. And later on his wish was fulfilled. So it's interesting, the Cheshek Shlomo points out that the Afyomi people just started Gemara Sukkah. But every Masechta starts off with one word in the first box. So the first word in the first box in Sukkah is the word Sukkah. Salah Rav Chofei. So Shlomo Vilna, who was the Magia and the Vilna Shas, he was the proofreader. He checked the Vilna Shas from Zikar, from memory. He took the galleys and he checked. He knew the Gemara Baal Pesach, so he checked. And then every so often, when he thought there was a misprint, so he would write down in brackets, he would write down what he thinks it should say. He had no sources. He wrote down what he thinks it should say, and he put in parentheses what it did say. And in the back of the Gemara, he explains why he put in the brackets, why he put that in parentheses. He was the Magia and the Vilna Shas. He was a dying in Vilna at the time the Vilna Shas was published 100 years ago. So he writes in the back of the Gemara, he thinks there's a misprint in all the editions that it's spelled Sukkah, the word, the first Mishnah, the first word in the first Mishnah. Sukkah Shehigvar Malamesh Namak Sula, that it's spelled Samach Rav Chofei. He says throughout Tanakh it's spelled Samach Chofei. Never spelled Molech. Never have a Vav. You have sometimes Basukkah Steshu, Samach Vav Tav, when you have the plural, Sukkahis. The Gemara has a whole drasha, Basukkahs, Basukkahis. Sometimes Molech, sometimes Chosir in the plural. In between the Chaf and the Tav. But he writes that throughout Tanakh, he checked it out, that it's never spelled Molei, with one exception of it. And this Pasuk in Tehillim, Perakai and Vav, that the Pasuk is, Vahi b'shalem sukkai, because the Zohar, he quotes the Zohar, comments on that Pasuk, that somehow this is referring to the Malchus Beis David, that when the Rebbeinu Shlomo will ultimately rebuild Yerushalayim, and the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, and the Melech HaMashiach and the descendants of Malchus Beis David will be ruling over Eretz Israel, then it'll be Sukkot HaShleimah. Then you have a Sukkot HaShleimah. Like the Medrash comments on the Pasuk, Ein Hashem Shalem, Ein Akisei Shalem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's throne, His kingdom is incomplete, until Amalek will be wiped out, and then there will be the Malchus HaNevcheres ruling in Eretz Yisrael, representing the Malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this Pasuk, which speaks about Yimois HaMashiach, he quotes a Zohar like that, that's why here it's written Sukkot Molech, Samach Vav Chavo. And he suggests, he doesn't have any Makaris, he just suggests that this is possibly the reason for the Nusach HaTfilah that we have, that all week long when we daven Ma'ariv, we conclude the bracha of Hashkiveinu by saying, Shomer Amo Yisrael Ava. And on Shabbosim and Yamim Tovim, the tour quotes from the Yerushalmi, that we conclude, the first one is Sukkah Shlemecha, HaPar Sukkah Shalom Aleinu HaKaram Yisrael Ava Yerushalayim. So where does that Nusach HaBracha come from? So apparently it's based on this Pasuk, Vayi B'Sholem Sukkah, the Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Paris to Ashlaim Aleinu means it's a Tefillah L'Moish HaMashiach. Why do we recite this Bracha Dafka and Shabbos and Yom Tovim? So he suggests that it must be based on the Midrashim, where the Midrashim and the Gemara say that Shabbos and Yom Tov is Meyei Na'arim HaBor. Somehow we have a taste of what the peaceful life will be like L'Moish HaMashiach. So we dive an extra special Nusach HaTefillah on Shabbos and Yom Tov that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be Paris to Ashlaim on Yerushalayim. He should take and make this Malchus Beis David established again in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim should again be the capital of Eretz Israel. What does it mean when we say that the name Yerushalayim is a combination of two names of Yireh and Shalem? What does it mean Yireh? Avraham Avinu said Yireh in the sense Hashem Yireh, Hashem should see the mitzvah that we're doing, that we did the Akedah. So the Mefarshim say that it means something more than that. The Baal HaTanya has a lot about this in his Drushim, in his Kutei Torah. There's in several Drushim where he claims that the theme of this name, Yerushalayim, Yireh Shalem, has to do with Yireh, Yireh Shamayim. We have two mitzvahs, one is Avas Hashem and one is Yireh Hashem. And when one is in Yerushalayim, since that is the Makom HaMikdash, where the person is considered mamish with Nei Hashem, in the presence of the Shechina, so then one should be in an extra special state of Yira, of Yira Shamayim. And this corresponds, this idea that the Baal HaTanya has a long drush, Baruch HaDrush has a long arichas on this, this corresponds to a halacha that the Gemara has, al pidin. We have a din in general that mitzvah saseh, doicha mitzvah leisaseh. That whenever a person is faced with a conflict, on the one hand he's in a dilemma, on the one hand he has to fulfill a certain mitzvah. On the other hand, if he's going to do that mitzvah, he'll be violating an aveirah. And if he will be careful not to violate the aveirah, then he will be doing the mitzvah. So what should he do? Should he do the mitzvah at the expense of violating the aveirah? Or should he abstain, should he refrain from doing the aveirah, and thereby lose the mitzvah? So the Gemara says that there's a distinction between in the Beis HaMikdash and outside of the Beis HaMikdash. That generally speaking, we have a rule, we have a principle that mitzvah saseh is doicha mitzvah lo saseh. And in such an instance, we would recommend, we would require that we should do the mitzvah saseh, and the fulfilling of the mitzvah will be doicha, the lo saseh, it will be behat the gomer. There won't be any violation. The Gemara says in Zohar, that's an example. In the Beis HaMikdash, that ruling doesn't apply. Ein asei, doicha lo saseh sheba mikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, this doesn't apply. So Yosef Engel explains in his Jewish Sefer and Eitzus Yosef that the reason must be based on the Ramban HaChumash. When the Ramban writes on the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisrael, he speaks about Zohar v'Shomer. So he says that Zohar is a mitzvah saseh, we recite Kiddush, and Shomer is a mitzvah loisaseh, and not to violate Yisurim Aloch HaShomer. So the Ramban goes into a general dissertation, a general discussion of mitzvah saseh, as opposed to mitzvah loisaseh. So he thinks, gives us svara that the mitzvahs haseh are supposed to be a demonstration of avos Hashem. A person goes out of his way to demonstrate that he loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whereas the non-violation of a lois haseh doesn't really demonstrate avos Hashem. He's not demonstrating, he's not showing anything. It's just his demonstration of yiras Hashem, that he doesn't violate the rotzon Hashem. So the Ramban says that it must be that this is the reason why we say that haseh doicha lois haseh, because we know that the mitzvah of avos Hashem is a greater and a loftier mitzvah than yiras Hashem. So the fulfilling of a mitzvah saseh is a demonstration of avos Hashem. And refraining from violating the lois saseh is because of the yiras Hashem. So avos Hashem is more important than yiras Hashem. This is how the Ramban explains. Rabbi Yosef Engel adds on that of course this is only outside of the Beis HaMikdash in the rest of the world where we assume that avos Hashem is more important than yiras Hashem. But what is in the Beis HaMikdash? In Yerushalayim, the Yerushalayim is the Mokom HaYira. One is mamish in the presence of the Shechinah, where he's supposed to stress more Yira than Avo. So there the klal is the reverse, that that Yira is odd from Avo, and I say would not be Deicha Eloi Sasa.
Or would you say Sheva Lo Sasa in those instances if it were the case of them, which carried the children, but then we wouldn't be Shevas?
I mean, there are limitations. You only apply Aseh Doicha Lo Sasa when it's the Yidna, when it's at the same time that he's fulfilling the mitzvah, he's violating the Aveirah. And furthermore, it doesn't apply to an Issa Shi'ej Bokoris. Mashal Chilul Shabbos, the Gemara has an exception to the rule. But since violation of Shabbos carries with it a punishment of Koris, we have a klal on Aseh, it's not Doicha Lo Sasa Shi'ej Bokoris. The Gemara has a lot of limitations in this klal of Aseh Doicha Lo Sasa. It doesn't always apply, but when it does apply, so the Ramban says the idea behind it is that Avos Hashem is other from Yiras Hashem. The Psukim promise us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to see to it that he does rebuild Yerushalayim. The Gemara comments in Tainus on the Daf Yud Aleph and the Pasuk in Hosea, the Kibbuch HaKadosh Velo Yavo Ba'ir. The Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not return to his Yerushalayim Shalmailo until he will bring back the Shekhinah to the Yerushalayim Shalmato. The Gemara comments similarly on the Pasuk, the same Gemara on Tainus comments on the Pasuk, Yerushalayim HaBenuyo, here she chubra lo yachtub, that the term chubra has the connotation of chaverim, that there are twin cities, that there is Yerushalayim Shalmairo and Yerushalayim Shalmato. And Rashi and Chumash quotes this on Parshas B'Shalach, on the Pasuk, to the Emer, the Sitzu Emer Mahar Nachalosho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring us into the Hara Maria, to the Beis HaMikdash, Mochon, the Shiftach of Baal, to Hashem, what does it mean, Mochon? So Rashi quotes in the Chilta that it means Mechuvah, that the Beis HaMikdash Shalmat is Mechuvah in Kenegah, the Beis HaMikdash Shalmailo. What is the idea over here? The Gemara doesn't mean to say that there's an America Shalmailo, and there's a Cuba Shalmailo, and there's a Poland Shalmailo. It doesn't mean that everything Lamata has its correspondence Lamailo. The Rashbo, the Chuba points out clearly like that. The Gemara is only speaking about a Yerushalayim and a Beis HaMikdash and a Mizbeach Shalmailo. It's not talking about that everything on this world is Mechuvah in Kenegah, everything up in heaven. So what does it mean that these things are mechuvan? What does it mean that it's mechuvan? The Gemara Chagiga has on that he's based on a base. The Gemara speaks based on the Pesukim in Tanakh of the seven heavens, the Rishim Rikiyim. So the Gemara quotes Pesukim from Tanakh to demonstrate that there are seven heavens, and to give you the names of the various heavens. One is Machon, one is Zvul, different names. And what goes on in each one of the heavens? So the Gemara says that the heaven that's called Zvul is unique in the sense that both Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash is there. You have these three things. That's where the Beis HaMikdash is, and that heaven, one that's called Zvul. So what is this all about? That there's a Beis HaMikdash and a Mizbeach and a Yerushalayim Shalmayim Mechuvim Keneged Shalmato. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara in Tainis Dafei explain as follows. We have such a story that runs as follows in the Gemara, the last Perek in Vayikotin. The Gemara says that sometimes when the Bezin had to put somebody in Cherim, so sometimes they would put them in Cherim for a long time, 30 days, sometimes for a week, and sometimes they would only want to put them in Cherim for a day, just to punish them. So let's say the Rav would put a certain person in Cherim, and then he would forget to undo the Cherim. So then he would be causing the other person more suffering than he really deserved. He only deserved to be in Cherim for a day or two, and then that was the poor fellow sitting in Cherim for a long time. So the Gemara says that some Rabbanim, some of the Amoraim, had the following practice. And they would put somebody in Cherim, who only deserved to be in Cherim for a short period of time, the Rav would put himself in Cherim in addition. And then the Rav would be treating himself as one who is the Cherim. And then the Rav, when he would come home to eat supper, he would want to be matir his own Cherim. And then when he would be matir his own Cherim, he would remind himself that the reason why I put myself in Cherim is that I should remember to be matir his Cherim as well. So the Mefarshim on the Gemara in Tainis Afei explained that that's the Pshat in this Gemara. So what is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam have in Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alon, and Mizbeach Shel Ma'alon, Beis HaMikdash Shel Ma'alon? What is this all about? So they explain what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of put himself into a situation where he's forcing himself to remember that he has to free us, that he has to bring us back to Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alon. So he made sort of his area, he made his place, so to speak, Kevayochol. He has his place, his throne, where he is comfortable. And he put an Isra on himself, he sort of put himself in Chemda. He's not going to be comfortable in his spot, Kevayochol, whatever that means, until he sees to it that we will be comfortable in our Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alon. And only Bikir B'chol Kodesh, only when the Shechina will return, when we will have back to Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alon, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go back to return to his Yerushalayim Shel Ma'alon. This is in order that he should remind himself that he shouldn't forget to bring us the Geula. There is a famous Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, but the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in the beginning of Sefer Yeshayah, on Perek Tes, Perek Yud, but the Pasuk speaks about Melech HaMashiach. The Mashiach is described as the Marbe HaMisra L'Sholom Ein Kei. Mashiach will come so that there will be a lot of peace, peace on earth, good will to those fellow men, that's what it's supposed to be. And the Marbe HaMisra means that he will be the great administrator of the whole world. He will be the king of Eretz Yisrael, the government of Eretz Yisrael. Marbe HaMisra will be a lot of Sror, a lot of Malchus. So the word Marbe has a mem in the middle of the word, so which should have been a mem psucha, not the mem. So the Medrash comments that it's a mem stuma. It's printed, it's written in the Tanakh, as a closed mem, a shloss mem, it's supposed to appear at the end of the word. So the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin has a comment on this, that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make Chizkiyo HaMelech, the Melech HaMashiach, and solve all the Jewish problems. That would have been the Kufas HaMashiach. And because when he had his Yeshua against Sanhedrin, Melech Bovel, so since he didn't sing Shira, he closed his mouth. He had a mem stuma instead of a mem sucha. He didn't say hallel. He didn't thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was the proper thing to do. So he lost his chance, and the Bnei Yisrael lost their opportunity to have the Yemos HaMashiach come at that time. So the Radak and that Pasuk quotes another Medrash which doesn't appear in the Gemara. Quotes the Medrash HaGadol. But there is another Pasuk where there's such a strange phenomenon. Not that you have a mem stuma in the middle of the word, but you rather have a mem stucha at the end of the word. There's a Pasuk in Nehemiah where the Perek is describing the way they were building Yerushalayim at the beginning of the period of the Bayis Sheni. So Nehemiah and the others were looking around the outskirts of Yerushalayim and they saw that the walls were fruits in Hanan, that the walls had breaches in them, and they weren't given the rishus to rebuild. And every time they were trying to complete the walls to protect the city from enemies, the people gave them a hard time and they weren't able to complete the rebuilding of the walls. So the Radak points out in the name of the Medrash HaGadol that there the Pasuk reads fruits in with an open mem to indicate that the walls were open, that they weren't closed. And when will the walls be closed? Dr. Medrash Limois HaMashiach. When this Pasuk, Lamabi HaMishra, will be fulfilled, then the walls of Yerushalayim will be completed. We have an obligation, the Gemara says in Ramos, we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach Tzidkei. In fact, the Gemara has one opinion that this is, very strangely, this is the essence of the mitzvah of Tiryag HaRivyah. There is a mitzvah that every Jewish person should have children. So the Gemara says, right, so the Gemara has a dispute, what if a person got married and had children, and Rahman al-Islam, the children died before they were able to get married and have their own children. So there's a dispute in the Gemara whether the parents have fulfilled the mitzvah periodically or not. So one opinion of the Gemara says yes, that the parents have fulfilled the mitzvah periodically. So the Gemara says, what if they fulfilled periodically means to have children to multiply. You had children and they died. So where's the periodically? So the Gemara says, this opinion holds that the whole idea of Peribrivi is to hasten the coming of Mashiach to Kenya, based on the tradition that we have, based on the Pasuk in the Novi, that Ein Ben Gadol Bor, that Mashiach will only come, at Shiach will come Neshama Shebagul, until a certain number of Neshamas, to some kind of an Oitzer, to some kind of a room or a box up in heaven, that's called a Guf, Gimel Vavpeh, that all the Neshamas from that Oitzer will be brought down into this world in the form of Jewish bodies. But then Mashiach will come. So every child that's born, even Rahman al-Islam, the child dies as a baby, or dies before he had his own children, still Mashiach Tzidkenu is, the coming of Mashiach will be hastened. So one opinion in the Gemara is, that this is the way, this is the essence of the mitzvah of Birur Rivya, to hasten the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu. We happen to paskin that, so we paskin that if a person had children and they died before they themselves were able to have children, then the parents have not fulfilled the mitzvah of Birur Rivya, because we understand the nature of the mitzvah periodically differently, that the mitzvah is La Torah, Hashem is Yitzorah. Yishai HaNovi, who says that the purpose of the world, for the God created the world, that it should be inhabited, it shouldn't be Torah Lavoh, it shouldn't be empty from people, it should be populated. So that is the Yom-Tash, that is the nature of the mitzvah of periodically. Nonetheless, so the Rambam writes a new gimel, get married, about it. And then the Rambam writes another point, when the Rambam lists off the Yud Gimel Ikori Ho'amuno, when the Rambam in the Hagdomet, the Pirush HaMashnayis Mechelo, in the last Perek in Sanhedrin, lists off what he considers the 13 articles of our faith, of our religion. So he lists off, as one of the last ones, HaMilamed Ben Mishleimo, the Bias HaMashiach. And then he says, every person has the obligation to do something to hasten Bias HaMashiach. What can he possibly do? Zokhtaram, he should daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom. He should be mispalad. Because whenever the halacha requires of us that we should do something that's impossible, if we don't have control over it, so what can we do? We ask the one who does have control, we ask him to take care of it. So we have an obligation to daven to Hashem Yisbarach that he should be Mashiach Tzidkenu. We have such a halacha regarding Bika Chayim. The halacha of Bika Chayim is that whenever someone is sick, so just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merapi the sick people, so too, Mahu Afato, so too, Vahalachta Bidrach, you should also cure the sick people. So if I'm a doctor, I can try to cure it. If he needs some medicine, I can go to the store and buy the medicine. If his apartment is dirty, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva visited the sick man, the Gemara says, in the dorm, and he swept the floor, and he made the bed for him, and he changed his pajamas, and so on. Whatever he can help out. But if the person is in the hospital, and the doctors and the nurses are taking care of him, and the orderlies are taking care of the floor, everything is clean, and they have the medicine, so what can I do? So the Gemara says there's still something you can do. And even if you're the doctor, and even if you're delivering the medicine, there's still something you can do. The Gemara says that you shouldn't visit the patient too early in the morning because he'll look too healthy. He may look so healthy that you won't want to daven to the Rebbeinu Shalom for his report. He just woke up after a good night's sleep. And also the Gemara says you shouldn't visit the Chayim late in the afternoon because he's going to look so exhausted. You'll think that he's already a goisis, he's going to die, so you won't want to daven for him. You'll think it's all over already. The Gemara says, Shimon Levin about the Chayim at those hours of the day that he looks a little bit healthy and he looks a little bit sick. So you realize that you have to be mispalel for him. So the Ramo, in the end of Yeridei, in Hilchas Bika Chayim, quotes in the name of the Ramban, commenting on that Gemara, that you see from that Gemara Din, that one who is Mevakel Chayla and doesn't offer a prayer not a bracha. Bracha is a different thing. To give the person a bracha and a nechah, but a prayer means a tefillah to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One who is mevaka chayla doesn't daven Hashem his bracha, the chayla should have refuah shleima, has not fulfilled the mitzvah bika chayla. Because the mitzvah bika chayla is not glad to visit the person to cheer him up. The mitzvah is to be merapi the chayla, to cure him in whatever fashion you can possibly cure him. So by cracking jokes, you cure him is good. If you call him up on the telephone, and that helps him get into good spirits, if you visit him about it, whatever you can do, if you give him medicine, if he changes pajamas, if you make an operation on him, whatever you can do to cure him is about it good. But the best thing that you can do to cure him is to daven HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Whenever we have an obligation, that's Zeh HaKlal, whenever we have an obligation to do something which is not within our control, so the only way to really fulfill that obligation is by referring it to the Baruch Shalom to be misspelled there, that he should take care of it. So this is exactly the idea why when we daven Shemon Esra, we do recite two brachas. We mentioned earlier that the places read at the end of Gemara Tainus pointed out that in the days of the Talmud Yerushalmi, they only had one bracha in the Shemon Esra, from Yerushalayim, Yocha Barachim and Toshu, and a Semach Ovid Abdecha. Because it's really one and the same theme. The Tesis Reed explains, Rabbi Shai Vitran explains, because we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that He should give us Yerushalayim with the mouth of Beis David in Yerushalayim. That means Yerushalayim Bibin Yonah. And the mouth of Beis David is representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the king in the capital named Yerushalayim. But we don't pass like that, la la. We follow the bodily. The Gemara says in Arabic Pesachim that there are two separate brachas. One is Yerushalayim Yerucha Barachim Toshim. One is a Stenot Tavid Avdecho, the Heiris Hatzmir. So why do we have to say two brachas if it's one and the same thing? But the answer is, it's not exactly the same thing. The special tefillah, Tzemach Tovid Avdecho, is a tefillah for Bias HaMashiach, because the pasuk calls Tzemach Shmoi Mitachtav Yitzlo. The Medrash says, what is the name of the Melech HaMashiach? So the Medrash points out, the Gemara in the last parak in Sanhedrin points out the pasuk in Novi that says Tzemach Shmoi, his name will be Tzemach, and Mitachtav Yitzlo, he will box Venunta Derech. It will be a person who was unknown before, like some people believe that the Lubavitcher Rebbe is the Melech HaMashiach. Another time he can't be, because the Rambam points out this pasuk that Tzemach Shmoi Mitachtav Yitzvot, that the Melech HaMashiach will be a person who was practically unknown before his galus as the Melech HaMashiach. Unless one should assume that when the Rebbe became Rebbe, that was his galus, whatever, okay. But the pasuk says like that, that the Mashiach will be a person who is Tzemach Shmoi Mitachtav Yitzvot. So it's based on that pasuk speaking about Mashiach, that we are mispalel in the Shemoneh Esrei as Tzemach Dovid Avdecho Meheres Hatzmiach. May conclude Matzmiach Keren Yeshua, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should bring the Bias HaMashiach. So that is the bracha, that tefillah, Tzemach Tovid Avdecho, is a separate mitzvah, the Rambam says. That's a mitzvah that we have an obligation to do whatever is possible to hasten the Bias HaMashiach. What can we possibly do? We don't control the situation. We should daven. That's in general the thing. Whenever you have a situation that you have no control over, so the only thing you can possibly do is tefillah, and thereby accomplish what you want.
When you say on Solomon Sukkos, in Sukkos Samosa and Farachim, Yochum Elon and Sukkos Lewis and Phyllis, do you have in mind the Beis HaMikdash or the Malchus Beis Dovid?
I think it means the Malchus Beis Dovid. I think the Sukkos Dovid means the Malchus Beis Dovid.
We have been referred to go with the Beis HaMikdash in Arava, and is that waiting for two nothing to mind?
Minach Shemayim is a different question, but the Paskin point out that Binyan Sion has in his first tshuva, this shayla. So he points out the Sifrei on the Pasuk in Re'eh, in Pashas Re'eh, where it says, "V'shich Nesirushu Rosh Hashanah," that you can only build a Beis HaMikdash with the authorization of the Navi. And even if you know exactly where the other Beis HaMikdash was archaeologically, and you're positive where the walls were, where the Mizbeach was, where the Hechel was and everything, you still must have the authorization of the Navi. This seems to be what the Gemara says also, not just the Sifrei. The Gemara in Zohar Matav Sama seems to indicate like that. The Gemara says in Yuma, in the first period, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Jewish nation at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period, and he didn't want to give any more nevuah. And Shlomo HaMelech said the nevuah in Shir HaShir, and he said, "In delasi not so la'alu acharis." That is the first play there. In Chomahi, nivna la'alkiras kesed. In delasi not so la'alu acharis. So the Gemara in Yuma interprets that nevuah, Shlomo HaMelech, to mean that when Bnei Yisrael will come back from Golos Babel, Shlomo HaMelech already knew that the first Beis HaMikdash that he was building was going to be destroyed. This is already told to them in Nevuah at the time of the Chet HaMeraglim. There's a psuk in Yecheskel and Tilim, it says that at the occasion of the Chet HaMeraglim, they were told in Nevuah that when they come to Eretz Yisrael, the first Beis HaMikdash will be destroyed. So Shlomo HaMelech already was speaking in Nevuah, will the second Beis HaMikdash be the ultimate one? Will that also be destroyed and will have to come on to a third Beis HaMikdash? So he said, if a lot of people will come up on Aliyah, the beginning of Kufas Bayisheni, then Nivna Lehatiras Kesed, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a binyan of Nepal. Then not Kesed, just like Nepal. In HaRekad Sholibo doesn't rot, so to the second Beis HaMikdash will not rot away, it'll last forever. But in Delasi, but if there'll only be Dalasa, it will be a very Shvach Aliyah, which it obviously was. The Pesukim in Ezra and Nehemiah described it, hardly anybody showed up. And Ezra had to stop in the middle and go back to Bovo and bring some more Levium and Kohanim. He didn't have enough Kohanim and Levium to man the Beis HaMikdash. He had to go back and then bring some more. And it was still very Shvach. Then Shlomo HaMelech says in Nevuah, in Delasi, if it will be Dalasa, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be a Pchina of Natsua Lehalu Acharis. It will be like a wooden bungalow, like a hut. And my area is just like a wooden building, Harekat Sholidbo. After Baishen will also be Harekat Sholidbo. So the Gemara comments on that pasuk, that Harekat Sholidbo, that it means in a double sense, that Rekat Rat will set into the building of the Beis HaMikdash, the second temple will be destroyed. And also Rekat Sholidbo, there will be no Nevuah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry at the Jewish nation at the beginning of this period of the second Beis HaMikdash, and he said that he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. But he had to send three Nevi'im. He had to send Chagai, Chai, Malachi, three Nevi'im to authorize the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Each one had a different function to say where to build the Beis HaMikdash, where to bring the Karbanos, and how to bring the Karbanos. Even though the Rabban could have figured it out without the assistance of the Nevi'im, still the Halacha requires that building the Beis HaMikdash must be Alpi Novi. So really now, even if we could figure out archaeologically where everything is supposed to be, or put everything exactly the way it was in the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, but still, the halacha tells us that we're not permitted to build a Beis HaMikdash without the authorization of the Navi. That's not going to do.
Korbanos?
Korbanos we can offer even without a Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. That you can offer without, according to the Rambam. The Rambam's opinion is that Kitchel Asi Nova, that the Makom HaMikdash has a Kedusha, so you can just put in this Beich and bring Korbanos. But if you want to build a Beis HaMikdash, that you have to have a Navi for.
I don't know how to bring in the 1910.
Yeah, during different periods of history, different Rabbanim were interested. In the days of the Rishonim, Rabbi Chilmi Paris went to Yerushalayim with a group of Balei HaTosis from France, and he was interested in bringing Korban Pesach and bringing out the Korbanos as well, but never turned out, never worked out. Then later, other Gedolim were interested. Even though everybody's Tomei, so there's other questions, there are some who are in the Tzibur, but since everybody's Tomei, we have no Tzibur.
Yes,
from
the history.
Right, so there's problems everywhere
until we could. Right, yes. They worked on all the problems, they figured out solutions for most of the problems, not all. Most of the problems they had solutions for. For the Chalozim, they didn't have a solution. And a couple of other problems, they didn't have solutions. Most of the problems they thought that they could solve. A Tzvi Hirsch Kalashim, maybe in 1810, in the beginning of the 1800s, Tzvi Hirsch Kalashim was very interested in buying up the Makom HaMikdash. They didn't realize that there was a mask. They wanted to buy the Makom HaMikdash and bring Karbanos. So he sent letters to the Rabbi Balabatim that they should go make money, they should build the Beis HaMikdash, and he sent the Shugar. He was a student of Rabbi Kivega, Tzvi Hirsch Kalashim. Tzirat Tzvi is the name of the thing. He was one of the leaders of the Chayyur Etzion movement then. So he sent his Shugar to the Kivega, who was his Rebbe, who was masking with him. And then Rabbi Kivega sent a tshuva to the Chassam Sofer, his son-in-law. The son-in-law of Rabbi Kivega is also masking.
Chassam Sofer was his son-in-law or his father-in-law?
No, Chassam Sofer was his son-in-law. Chassam Sofer had three wives. So his second wife was the daughter of Rabbi Kivega. His first wife died and his second wife died. He was only, I think, 1 year younger than Rabbi Kivega. But he was the son-in-law of Rabbi Kivega with his second wife. So the Chassam Sofer was also masking with Rabbi Kivega, who was masking with Rabbi Yish Kalashin, that they could more or less solve all the problems. The only thing is that it wasn't for sale. Makom HaMikdash wasn't for sale.
Any explanation that first it happens that the Muslims happen to choose that site for their mosque?
Historically, why did they choose that site?
Religiously,
I think that probably is, yes. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that Muhammad is Aschalt of the Gula. That there is a concept of Gula, and there is a concept of Aschalt of the Gula. Some people from the Third Kalka Taina, that the whole terminology of Aschalt of the Gula was invented by Rav Kook. So I thought it was a good Taina, because I had never come across it in the Gemara. Until I came across it, so the famous Gemara, I had lost an Aschalt of the Gula. Then in Kabbalah's Swan, they quote, I'm not familiar with the Zohar, but they claim that the Zohar always talks about Aschalt of the Gula. So Rav Kook is not the originator of the concept, he's just the one who popularized it. But he once speaks about Aschalt of the Gula. So Mar Megillah says, the beginning of the second paragraph of Megillah, the Gemara speaks about the Shemana Esrei, about the 18 brachas of the Shemana Esrei. The Gemara says that Melchama is Aschalta de Guru. Which Melchama is Aschalta de Guru? So the Hasam Sefer, who lived in the early 1800s, 1820s, writes that the war at that time between Prussia and Austria, I think he considered that Aschalta de Guru. What sense was that Aschalta de Guru? He has a din based on his assumption. He has a din. Yeah, Aschalta de Guru, he's Mechadish a certain din. Very strange why he considered that Aschalta de Guru. And the Munkach, his children in Minchas Alozer, who lived just in recent years, writes in his children that he considers the Second World War, the Nazi War, as Aschalta de Guru, based on that Gemara, that Muhammad is Aschalta de Guru. Very strange. Why should we consider this a war? That could be. That could be. So the Pashtus is that the Gemara means Mechemes Gogol Magog, which the Nevi'im speak of a Muhammad around Yerushalayim. All the Nevi'im speak of Muhammad around Yerushalayim. And you have a battle as far as control of Yerushalayim. Will Yerushalayim be the capital of the Jewish Medina? Or will it not be the capital of the Jewish Medina? So if that's what the war is all about, and the Jews win the war, if the Jews lose the war, then it's not Aschalta de Guru. If you have a Muhammad in which a Jewish army wins the war, and then Yerushalayim becomes the capital of Eretz Yisrael, that's what Gog and Magog Muhammad is all about, fighting about whether Yerushalayim will or will not be the capital of Eretz Yisrael. That's taka called Aschalta de Guru, because the Guru means when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the king of Eretz Yisrael and the king of the whole world, reigning in Yerushalayim, having his representative, his human representative there, in the form of the Melech from the mouth of Beis David. So that's L'chor Al-Pi Poshev Shad, that's the Aschalta de Guru. Of course we're not allowed to.
Don't go there
anymore. We have some dinim with what the Koch Nefesh is doich, and we have other dinim with the Koch Nefesh is not doich. So the mitzvah binyan based on Mikdash is not from the dinim. It's not from the dinim. We have other dinim. Moshe Kibush Ha'aretz, the dinim, the Nechassim points out that the mitzvah Kibush Ha'aretz, or the mitzvah Mechias Amolek. So if you'll say that the Koch Nefesh is doich the mitzvah Mechias Amolek, that's doich the mitzvah Kibush Ha'aretz, so you'll never fulfill the mitzvah. Whenever you wage war, so there you're going to lose some soldiers. So you should never go to conquer Eretz Yisrael. You should never go to wipe out Amalek, because if one Jewish life may be lost, so it's a suffix because nefesh. It's not a far-fetched suffix. It's not that it's a suffix. Echad min yalav is such a far-fetched suffix nobody worries about. No, it's a realistic suffix. When you go to war, you know in advance that you probably lose some of your soldiers. So why not say that suffix because nefesh is derech the mitzvah? But we should never fulfill the mitzvah of mechias Amalek and the mitzvah of kibush Eretz Yisrael. So the Menachas Chinuch writes that obviously that mitzvah has built into it a clause that it's understood that it's not subject to this clause that the Kuvat Nefesh is derech of this mitzvah. If Nefesh be derech, you would never have a mitzvah unless you have a promise from a Novi in advance that you won't lose any men, which it wouldn't appear from the Chumash. The mitzvah flies in when you don't have a promise from a Novi. But the mitzvah of Vinya Beis HaMikdosh, this we have no indication that we should say the mitzvah is so chomor that even the Kuvat Nefesh is not derech. This not. So whenever there's a Kuvat Nefesh or a Safi Kuvat Nefesh, we're not obligated to fulfill that mitzvah. Considering that the Eretz Yisrael that we have today, and especially the capturing of Yerushalayim, the Mechomis and Eretz Yisrael, are the Aschalta de Geula, we pray to our Kodesh Baruch on this day and every day that he should hasten the Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu. Every day we daven Shemana Esrei. We daven Estanot Tovin Ardechot. And we hope all to be Zech, Bekor of Mamish, to see Binyan Yerushalayim and Binyan Eretz Yisrael beyond me.